Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Thank y'all. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm supposed to be doing just a quick greeting, aren't I? Okay. I'm doing a quick greeting as the choir's doing a quick entry over there. Woohoo! Y'all should have seen how fast some of those guys got in there. Okay, glad you're here this morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord if you're watching from home. Y'all, we gave this summer, we were in our how-to series, and the how-to series was how to grow. And I think we gave out about 180 of these books. 180 families took one of these books. So I'm just asking you to use them. Get together with 3, 4, 5 folks of the same sex and just grow in Jesus. Go deep with Jesus and with each other. So if you took one of those books, here's what I want you to do. Let me know if you started one of the groups. I just want to be a resource person. I just want to pray for you. I just want to encourage you as you start what John Wesley called a band. They're called discipleship bands. But for John Wesley, 250 plus years ago, these were the things that literally changed a continent. And so may such a thing change, such a change happen in us once again. We have a slide. I think about that. Okay, so last Sunday, Nate did this, right? I think he made so much money, he flew to Las Vegas. That's why, yeah. Yeah, you haven't seen him since. Anyway, yeah. He didn't take Dad with him. Come on. So anyway, so, but y'all really responded. But I just want to, again, encourage you, mowers, weed eaters, all those kinds of things, and just talk to Joel or Elena, and they will tell you where to bring them, when to bring them. But that's this Sunday. I mean, next Sunday, I should say. So please just touch base. The youth are going to go literally to places. They see where the grass needs to be mowed. They're going to knock on the door and say, hey, we want to love you. Can we mow your grass? And if, by the way, if you know somebody that fits that kind of description, maybe a neighbor or somebody down the street or somebody 2 blocks over, let Joel, let them know so they can also help get that going. All right. Lord Jesus, thank you for this church that just gives and gives and gives and serves and serves and serves and loves and loves and loves. And Lord, it is our joy. It is our privilege to get to join you in what you're doing in this world. So Lord, receive our gifts, whether they're little or big. Lord, in your hands, our little becomes your much to change the world. Receive our love, Lord. Receive our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. His love endures forever. Everything else is passing away with the passing of time, but his love endures forever. We had conversation about an hour ago having to do with our church and this building and all that God wants to do. You know what? This building's going to pass away with the passing of time, but his love endures forever. Hear and receive God's word this morning. This is from Mark chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. He said, of course I'm willing. He said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. Or maybe we say just anyone. But go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, the man went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Lord Jesus, this morning, let your word become alive to us, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the core of our being. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we need to hear from you. So speak your truth to the core of our being, a truth that doesn't leave us where we came, but a truth that transforms us more and more and more into the son or the daughter of God that you've called us to be. Lord, you came to this leper long ago. Come to us. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So three things this morning. We're in still in this sermon series, Created for More. Three things about this. First, from this passage, we are created for more than our circumstances. Our unnamed leper was declared to be unclean because he had an infectious skin disease, which literally was actually a disease that wasn't just about the skin, it was about the nervous system. Leprous persons often experience disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting of the limbs, curling of the fingers to form the characteristic claw hand. Facial changes included thickening of the outer ear and the collapsing of the nose and open sores. Tumor-like growths called lepromas often formed on the skin and in the respiratory tract, and the optic nerve often deteriorated. A large number of the deformities occurred on lepers because they had the loss of a pain sensation due to extensive nerve damage. So a leper could pick up a cup of boiling water without even flinching. They didn't even know that they were touching something that was burning their skin. Our unnamed leper was declared not just physically unclean, but spiritually unclean, cut off from God, not allowed in the temple, not allowed in the synagogue, not allowed at any Jewish festival of worship. Our unnamed leper was declared relationally unclean, cut off from his own family. He couldn't be with them. He couldn't eat with them. He couldn't do birthdays with them. He couldn't do life with them at all. Our unnamed leper was declared socially unclean, not allowed to engage in commerce, not allowed to work for a living, not allowed to be in the community that he called home, not allowed to be in any relationships at all. He was required to literally and physically separate himself, remove himself from any and all relationships except those with other unclean lepers. Our unnamed leper was declared unclean. He was treated as less than human. No rights, no access, no purpose, except seemingly, perhaps, being allowed to merely exist. Our unnamed leper was declared unclean and thus was under judgment. The legalistic, judgmental, utilitarian view of the day was that good things happen to good people, right? Bad things happen to bad people. Therefore, since this bad thing had happened to him, he must be bad. Everything about this unnamed leper's life was filled with struggle and heartache and all kinds of pain at all kinds of levels. So I don't know what your circumstances are this morning. I don't know how profoundly difficult your circumstances may be, or maybe perhaps how wonderfully comfortable your circumstances may be, but I do know this, that you and I were created for more than the mere circumstances of our lives. We are meant to be more than the subtotal, right, of just our situations or our environment or our circumstances. We are made, we are created for more. This is my sister-in-law, Ellen. We spent, in 2005 when my mama died, we, just as a family, made a decision that we would keep intentionally gathering with each other to make sure that we had relationships that mattered in our lives. So we called it Brothers Weekend. So we've been doing that since 2005. And this year, everybody's retired except Janie and I. And so we did Brothers Week. And so from Monday to Thursday, we went to Possum Kingdom Lake. You know, I know it was hot here in Lubbock last week. It was like, I think, 108 every day down there. It was like, that deck right there that Ellen's on, that deck is a beautiful deck about 6 to 7 in the morning. After that, we were out there quite a lot. It really was great. Great view of the lake. So Ellen was married to my oldest brother, Michael, who died about 8 or 9 years ago. Ellen has been diagnosed with cancer, and that cancer has metastasized to 6 or 7 different areas of her body. Last October, she had an amputation of her, left leg, I can't remember. Anyway, Ellen had that done for cancer purposes and simply just to survive. She's in quote-unquote palliative care. Palliative care means they're just given, you know, she's taking chemo every week and she's taking these really strong cancer, not cancer-killing drugs, but cancer-suppressing drugs. They can slow it down. They can't make it go away. And Ellen's doing all of that, and she came to Brothers Week. And I'm going to tell you, just the most kind, grateful person. Everything. Janie and I were in charge of food the whole time. It didn't matter what we put in front of her. It was the best thing she'd ever eaten. And you didn't hear not a single word the whole time we were together for 4 days. Not a single, ever a word of complaining. And Ellen is not defined by her circumstances. Cancer doesn't get to say who she is. And we love Ellen, but I think we all grew to have a deeper love and appreciation for her because of who she is in the midst of this great challenge. Y'all, for many of us, the real challenge, and maybe you're here this morning, you got some really crappy, hard, difficult stuff going on, and your real challenge is not to let all that really hard stuff define you. But for most of us, perhaps, the real challenge is not to let all the good stuff define us, all the comfortable stuff define us. For many of us, the challenge is for us to be more than that which surrounds us. For us to understand that we're not just the things of this world. We're not just the connection to the things of this world. For us to really be about belonging fully and totally to the Lord. Secondly, we are created for more than getting our needs met. The leper says to Jesus, "Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean." I mean, he knows exactly what he needs, and he's willing to ask for it. Jesus, make me clean with all that entails. You know, no more isolation. Make me clean, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally, spiritually, socially, relationally. Do you remember how Jesus taught us to pray? Cindy led us in the prayer a while ago, right? Give us this day. Jesus taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus taught us to ask the Father to meet our needs, right? I believe absolutely, positively, without question, that we are to bring our needs, to bring our requests unto the Lord. But y'all, we were created for more than just getting our needs met. I got my house, check. I got my car, check. I got my health, check. I got my bank account, check. I got my family, check. Is that all that matters? Is that all that you care about? If all that is good, does that mean that you're good? In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus shares this great illustration of how God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. Matthew chapter 6. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? In which of you being anxious can add a single hour," right? Not a single hour, "to the span of his or her life? And why are you anxious about what you wear, about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like even one of these." If God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, he will. He will take care of you. But what Jesus tells us to do in this sermon is not to focus on getting our needs met, but rather to focus on seeking God first. Matthew 6:33, right? Seek first. Primacy, primary, essential priority. Seek first above everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all this other stuff. Then all these other things will be added unto you. But y'all, don't we get this stuff mixed up?
I mean, we're so focused on, you know, getting this and taking care of this, and messing with all the things that we got to do for family and taking care of all this financial stuff. And I'm not telling you that stuff doesn't matter. I'm just saying that stuff doesn't trump this one thing named Jesus. The thing that gets our attention, the things that get our attention get us. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things. For the leper, God help him. God bless him. For the leper, he's so focused on what Jesus can give him, so focused on what Jesus can do for him, that he misses out on the most important thing of all, which is getting to actually know Jesus, to actually follow Jesus. The leper's so consumed with pursuing the little gifts of God that he actually misses the capital G gift of God himself standing right in front of him. The leper was after getting what he needed from God, while God in the flesh was literally reaching out and touching him, actually loving him, desiring to transform him on the outside and the inside. So many people, maybe even so many of us, we treat God like a giant gumball machine. We put it in our quarter, we turn right the knob, and the desired outcome happens. We get that colorful gumball, right? And that's how we treat the Lord. That's how we treat faith. You know, well, we put in a little worship. You know, we twist the knob with maybe a little tithing, you know, and then boom, the outcome, the desired outcome, God takes care of us. But y'all, there's so much more. And it's not a quid pro quo relationship. It's not, I give him my quarter, it's I give him my all. This is May of 1986. This Wesley Foundation mission trip down to Haiti. And anybody see me and Janie there? Well, would you check us out later? There's 26 of us here. There's three missing. There were 29 of us that went to Cap-Haitien, Haiti. And we had a great trip. Yeah, so anybody got me and Janie yet? Bottom left, it's me. Janie's with the hat on because she had gotten sunburned out at the beach the day before. Literally, bubbles. She's covered. Anyway, the thing that nobody knew, not even us, is that in that picture, Janie's about 3 or 4 weeks pregnant with Josh. She didn't know. We came to find out after we'd taken all those medicines. And anyway, okay. Rest of the story. Fast forward, sorry. When we were here, two little boys that we met, Gabriel and Pierre. And Gabriel, I think, was 10. Pierre was 9. And those little boys, they had the joy of Jesus. I mean, they had nothing else. You know, they didn't have a house. They didn't necessarily have families. They didn't have, you know, any kind of shoes, fancy shoes to wear, right? I mean, they, you know, back in the day, it was all the fancy shoes. These boys didn't even have shoes. And I don't know if these boys lived past their childhood years, but I know that they're alive with Jesus. These boys had Jesus. These boys had something that maybe we didn't even have. And that is the joy of the Lord, that who they were was not based on what they had. That even though they didn't have any of their needs being met, they had the one need that mattered met in the core of their being. I remember worshiping with these little boys, and you know, we're singing, we're doing the American thing. You know, by the way, the American thing is we're in and out in an hour. Like, this was like 3 hours later, and these little boys were just loving Jesus. And Jesus had them then, and he has them now. Y'all, you got all kinds of needs, I know it. I mean, this morning, for those who are at Friday night football games and are also here, congratulations. That's not no easy task. All that y'all commit to and invest in all through the week and then to be here Sunday, that's not easy. But you're here. Because you know that there's more needs than the needs this world talks about. There's need, the need of relationship with the living God that only He can meet in our lives. As we avail ourselves to His availability. Third, we are created for more than merely being healed. Our leper in the story, he gets healed, right? He gets clean. He gets cured. But he doesn't do the one thing. The one thing that Jesus asked him to do. The one thing that God's word required him to do. He doesn't go and show himself to the priest. In Leviticus 13, we won't go into detail here, but in Leviticus 13, there are three things that those who are healed of leprosy were commanded to do. They were commanded to witness. They were to witness, to go show themselves to the priest. They were commanded to give thanks, to give a sacrifice to the Lord, and they were commanded to be restored to the community. Witness. Jesus tells him to go show himself to the priest. Now, I think Jesus specifically is sending this leper to the priest because that's what he was commanded to do. But I also think he's specifically sending this leper to the priest so that the priest, the religious leader of the day, he could see that something beyond, something from heaven was happening, that the kingdom of God was being made real. And he could know that Jesus had come, the Messiah had come, and he could be aware that God was up to something in the life ministry of Jesus. But the leper didn't go to the priest, right? He didn't do the one thing he was asked to do. He went out and just talked. By the way, we're always trying to get you to go talk to be a witness. We're always trying to get you to go, you know, and just share, you know, all a witness is someone who shares what they know, shares what they've experienced. We're always telling you, go and do it. But the place he was supposed to, the protocol, the process where he was supposed to start was in the community with the people that actually knew him, with the priest that had determined him unclean, now determining him clean. And through that natural connection, you know, the good news of Jesus would be spread. By the way, Jesus is not out to get fame here, right? That's what he got. The guy spreading and talking the way he did, he got famous. But Jesus didn't come to get fame. Jesus came to make disciples. Jesus didn't come to win a popularity contest. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to bring healing and salvation to everyone, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Thanksgiving required to make a sacrifice, to proclaim. Thanksgiving, y'all, I don't know how you are about gratitude, but it's Thanksgiving. Gratitude, it's all about declaring your dependency, your ongoing reliance upon God Himself. So when those birds were sacrificed, it reminded this leper not just that he was grateful for being healed, but he was grateful for being alive. And then not just witness and thanksgiving, but restoration. That he was made new, that he was no longer pussy and wounds and crooked and bent and nervous system not working. Now he was made new. He was healed. He was now restored back into the relationships that he had been created to experience. A relationship with God this way and a relationship with each other, with his family and the other people in his life horizontally. That's what was supposed to happen. We don't know what happened, except that he didn't do the one thing he was asked to do. This is our good friend. His name's Donnie Barmore. And Donnie, when we moved to Ruston in 1991, you love the quote, right? When Donnie, we moved to Ruston in 1991, Donnie and one other man was who moved us into our little house there on 1704 Bittersweet. And Donnie was just a great guy. He was a youth and college pastor at Trinity Methodist Church. And I mean, he was just great. He loved people. And when we came back in 2000 to Ruston, Donnie had gone back to teach at Cedar Creek School. And he was a legend there because of the way he loved kids, the way he just was. I mean, he was a great world history, American history, just a great teacher. And he just was just a legend. He was the presence of Christ everywhere he went in that community. In 2005, Donnie was 58 years old, and he got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And I went to the surgery over in Shreveport, and it was a surgery. They were going to take out the tumor, and they were going to do this procedure called the Whipple. It's a 7-8-9 hour kind of thing. And I'll always remember the two doctors who came in, the surgeon and the assistant surgeon. I'd never seen two people look more defeated in my whole life. And they just said, "We're so sorry. We couldn't do what we needed to do. I don't know how much time Donnie has to live." And we didn't have anything else we could do in that moment. We circled up and we prayed and we asked God for a miracle. And they sent the pathology to the Shreveport folks. And then they sent it on to Mayo Clinic beyond that. And 4 days later, they came back and said that Donnie did not have cancer. And so for the next 15 years... Donnie, every hallway that he walked down, every street he walked down, all he was in that community was a living witness to the power and the love of God to bring healing. No books have ever been written about Donnie, right? No TV, no famous person has ever interviewed Donnie. But in that community, in those relationships where he was known, he was a constant witness to the reality of who God is. That's how it's supposed to be, y'all. God has placed you in a circle, a sphere of influence that you are in every single day. And that sphere of influence might be, where you go out to eat. It might be where you work out. It might be the people you work with every day. But you're there as a person, as a son, a daughter of God who has been touched and loved by Jesus. You're there to be a witness. So this morning, in every day of our lives, you and I are created for more. We say what we're not created for, so what we are created for very quickly. We are created to be Jesus clean. Jesus clean. Jesus clean is means that you are created to let Jesus touch you, okay? In the first century, they believed they had all, if you were unclean over here, guess what? Everybody else stayed as far away as they could from you, because if you're unclean, the bad, the unclean could infect and cause harm to the clean. So you separate the two. But what does Jesus do? Jesus, the clean one, touches the unclean one. Jesus, instead of it being, this is going to affect us, Jesus in his goodness, Jesus in his love, Jesus in his power affected he who was unclean. All right? The clean made the unclean clean. So here's the deal. We still tend to think that we got to stay away rather than go to. And I'm not telling you to become unclean. I'm telling you, asking you to do what Jesus did, and that is to simply go to those who are broken and hurting and lonely and lost. To simply go to those who feel so unclean and to offer them the reality of the power, the love, the goodness of God himself. We have to let Jesus touch us at our places where we are unclean, where we are with sin, where we are broken, where we are in addiction. We have to let Jesus in his power, his love, his touch us. Jesus touched the untouchable then, and Jesus still touches the untouchable now. We were created to let Jesus touch us. And they, right, we all know about the pandemic and how all that stuff is contagious, right? And we got to stay away. Contagious is supposed to go not just from the bad to the good, but the good to the bad. What about if God's love was contagious? What about if His forgiveness was contagious? What about if His healing was contagious? What about if His presence was contagious? Then everywhere that you go, He goes. What if? What if it went from Him to them, from the good to the not good, from the clean to the unclean, from the full to the empty? We're created to let Jesus touch us so He can use us to touch others. We're created to let Jesus change us. Again, not just from unclean to clean, but from self-centered to Jesus-centered, from life all about me to life all about Him, from life that is comfortable to life that is committed, from a life that is empty to a life that is full. This morning, are you willing to let Him not just touch you, but willing to let Him change you? If you're doing the seedbed wake-up call that you get in your email every morning, this is the prayer that we're praying this whole month. It goes like this. I want you, if you don't mind, pray this out loud with me. I think you can do it better than the first service. Y'all ready? Here we go. Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I receive your righteousness and release my sin. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your creativity and release my chaos. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your rest and release my striving. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength so that my consecration becomes your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary for the glory of our Father. Amen. That's what Jesus wanted to do in that leper. He wanted his consecration, his healing, to be about the demonstration of the very presence and love of God in his life. That's what Jesus wants to do in you. He wants his touch of you, his transformation of you, his consecration of you to be his demonstration to the world that he is real and he is alive and he is here. We are created not just to let Jesus touch us, not just to let Jesus change us, but we are created to belong to Jesus. Last night, Pat Bradley's not here because last night he was in Seattle, Washington. His granddaughter, Carly, was getting married. This is Carly and Robert. Robert is a youth pastor at... Robert's Ukrainian. In the early service, I tried to do a Ukrainian accent. Everybody made fun of me. I'm not going to do it. Anyway, so... But at the wedding, the wedding was live-streamed last night. We watched it. It was live-streamed at 7 o'clock our time. And so it was a beautiful ceremony, very Christ-centered, and it was very beautiful surroundings there in Seattle. And you know what happened? Carly made a promise to Robert. Robert, I belong to you. And Robert made a promise to Carly. Carly, I belong to you. I think we get that's what happens in this covenant called marriage. But have you done it? Have you had the covenant marriage with God? He's given himself to you and for you, right? He's given his all that he has for you on the cross. He's poured out his very Holy Spirit into you. He's given his all for you. My brothers and sisters, have you given your all to him? Jesus, we belong to you. That's why we're here on planet Earth. I know we can get excited about a lot of things. I know we can get all fired up about all kinds of stuff going on in the world or in our schools or in our sports. But Jesus, none of that has our hearts, only you. Jesus, we belong to you. As we close out this morning, We're just going to sing. It's a real simple song. It's just, Lord, I need you. And this leper, right, I know he understood that he needed what Jesus could give him, but I don't know for sure if he understood that he needed Jesus. Not just the stuff of Jesus, right? He needed Jesus. This morning, if you're like a lot of folks playing the game called Christianity, it's just transactional. Put in the quarter, turn the knob, get the gumball. But oh, that's, we're created. We're created for so, so much more. So Lord, today, even as we sing, as we close out worship, today we give it all. We don't need part of you. We don't need some of you. We need all of you. And the only way we receive all of you is by giving all of ourselves to you. All that we are, all that we have, all that we will ever be, Jesus, we give to you. Let's stand as we sing. The altar is open. Give yourself to Jesus. He's ready to give himself to you. You know, if we're fortunate enough, our kids will grow up and they won't need their moms and dads anymore, right? At least not in the way, you know, they needed them when they were 4 or 2 or 1 month old. But we're never going to outgrow Jesus. We're never going to not need him. In fact, I'm 61. I need him more today than maybe any other day of my life. That dependency, let it grow. It's risky to let it grow because, you know, if you're in control and you're calling the shots, then maybe things kind of feel as if they're okay. But the only way things will truly, truly be right, truly be where God wants them to be, is when we are being held in his arms. His embrace of grace is the defining reality of our lives. Don't outgrow that grace. Don't outgrow that love. Don't outgrow that provision. And let him not just be the one who meets your needs. Let him be the all in all for you. We love you, Lord. My one defense is your righteousness. We belong to you, Jesus. Today, tomorrow, and always, we are yours. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for being here this morning.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.